And we said that at this shiur we're going to try to discuss the different loopholes of when you can get away with Geneva's Das. I'll start with one situation of Geneva's Das, which without a question is one of the most difficult cases in Geneva's Das, and it's a very complicated case in the Hilchot of Lashon Hara. When you have a situation, a person asks you for information regarding a shidduch about another person. So what do? The Chafetz Chaim wrote beautiful svarim, exactly when you are allowed to say, when you must say, when you shouldn't say. Right? For example, if a person, they ask you about a person and he has a certain, chisorin, he does something wrong, he's ill, something which is going to be detrimental to the future of this person's life. So then you absolutely have an obligation to give out this information. And even if they don't ask you directly this information, then the Chofetz Chaim has a category where he says that certain information, which it's not that significant. So then in those situations, what you should do is you should respond. But if the person asked you directly, then you have an obligation because of Medvasher Ketirchak. So you should say the truth. But if they didn't ask you directly, so then you should try to avoid the situation, right? And so on and so forth. There are very, very many, very complex situations of how you respond when a person asks you for information regarding a shidduch. But then there is certain times where if the information is not totally relevant, and besides that, if the information is not totally relevant, it's not totally necessary to say it, and the person didn't ask you directly, the Chofetz Chaim says that you shouldn't say it. So there are many achronim that ask that what's going on with the Chofetz Chaim, l'chayr it's geneva's das. Let me give you one classic example. Let's say you had a situation where you knew that a person had a yichus, which was a very, very negative yichus that he was hiding from people. I'll give you an example. You're not going to be able to pick a stronger example. You know a person whose mother, for whatever reason, met up with a goy, and this person is the child of a goy. Right? What would you say to this kind of situation? And they call you, and they ask you, what should I do in a shidduch where somebody asks information, do you know this bacha in yeshiva? He says, yeah, he's an excellent bacha. No, tell me more about him. Are you obligated to share this information that his father is not Jewish? No?
He's not a mamzer.
Not a mamzer. Akim Abol Albas Yisrael, the Vlad Kosher. What?
She's a penuyah.
She's a penuyah, yeah, 100%. Not a Vlad Mamza. No? What would you do in this kind of a situation? This situation came to the stipler. And the stipler writes in a letter that you should hide this information. And you shouldn't say it. Now, think about it. Geneva's Das, what's going on here, right? I mean, I don't think there's a much greater Geneva's Das to tell a person wonderful information about a wonderful yeshiva bacha when you know that this person's parent is a goy, right? Now, the stipler writes as follows. He says there is really no question, because the fact is that this gemara, this situation is a mefurish gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Hei. The gemara says the following story. The gemara says a story that Reb Yehuda had a certain boy that came to his yeshiva, and he was a very good boy. And he asked Reb Yehuda, he said, Reb Yehuda, I have a problem. My father's a goy, I want to get married. Give me advice. So Reb Yehuda said, go to another city where nobody knows who you are, blend into society, and get married. And you'll hide the information of who you actually are. So the stipler says, you can't imagine for a second that Reb Yehuda advised a person to do something that was Geneva's Das.
Yeah, he can hide.
What's that?
He can hide.
Imagine that Rabbi Yehuda would advise a person.
He can hide, of course, he can hide him for himself.
Can you advise? You should advise a person to do something which is Geneva's Das.
I don't have to give it.
You mean you yourself should be going of Das Habrias? Why would you be? How could you be going of Das Habrias? Also, Ligna of Das Habrias. Let me ask you another question. Let's go a step further. And I hear your distinction, by the way. It's a very good distinction. You're saying that these are not really the cases of Geneva's Das. I hear exactly what you're saying. But the fact is that it says also Ligna of Das Habrias. That's what it really says. When a person goes into Shidduch and he hides the information from the, Mechutonim, that his father is a goy, and he gets advice from Rabbi Yehuda to do so, then there's something a bit wrong. Okay, now, the emphasis is, I hear what you're saying, but with Pashas, the way the stipler touched up the situation is very differently. When it comes to marriage, what's really important is what's going to happen afterwards. So the truth is that in the big picture of marriage, like the Chofetz Chaim says, it's really, in the long run, irrelevant information. That's what it really boils down to. And again, it's a little hard to accept that concept, but that's really what the truth is. And if the information is really irrelevant information, so in that case, there is no real situation of Gneivas Das. Okay, even though I hear what you're saying, it's not a perfect case of Gneivas Das. Now, I want to discuss another few situations.
So, I don't understand. How does that answer? So, let's say it is Gneivas Das. Why is it okay?
So what's possibly the heck? Okay, good. I'll get to it. Let's go through the shiur. You had other questions last week because you wanted me to answer too. So let me get to it. I'll give you what the possible heck. I just offered one possible explanation. I want to get to all the questions you mentioned last week.
I don't understand what the explanation is.
The Saiba doesn't give his explanation. The Saiba just says it's a Gemara. That's what he says. That's how he responds. He says, the Gemara Yevamos Memhei, that Rabbi Yehuda advised the person to do this. So it's obviously it's not Gneivas Das.
Inconsequential item.
Yeah, the present Mechaber writes for him, they write the stipel, and their understanding is that the stipel basically meant to say that by a shidduch, the bottom line is, it's who you're marrying, the Karen that's really important, and the peripheral information is really, at the end of the day, irrelevant. And if a person really wanted to know, let him dig and figure it out. But you're not misleading the person. If you really know the person he's marrying is going to be a wonderful person, they're going to have a wonderful life, that's not information that you really need to offer. That's how they understand it. But I'll give you another few. You asked a few questions last week, which I owe you a response for. Well, we'll get to those questions. We'll answer these questions too. Okay, now, I just want to say another point. There's a machloket in the Rishonim. If Gneivas Das is the Eraisa or the Rabbonim. I just want to go back to that. Now, if it's the Eraisa, where does it come from? So the Ritva learns that Gneivas Das is a chelik from Gneiva. It's literally like stealing. That's what Gneivas Das actually is. And there's an asmachta from many psukim because it says, Vatignoiv es Levovoi, Vayignoiv af Sholem es Leiv Anshe Yisrael. So they try to show that from the psukim that there actually can be Gneivas Das and it actually works as a deraisa. Whatever it is, I just want to point out, the Sefer Yosef Oimitz writes that Hagoinev Das Habriyas Kagoinev Das Elyon. That, and I showed already last week, different, very, very strong Makaris. So regardless what Gneiva actually is, it's something that a person, what's the difference? It's something that's irrelevant, the person can't do. Now, we had a discussion last week, we started to discuss, and we said as follows, that a person that is not allowed to go and make a sale, that everything in my store is going to be 50% off, but even though everything in the store is 50% off, first what you do is you double all the prices. And after you double all the prices, you sell everything for 50% off. That, everybody agrees, would be Gneivas Das. I found that one of the best writers that there are today, a prolific writer in Chayesh Mishpat, the Pischei Achoshen, he is on the Badatz, Rabbi Blau. Very, very famous, as he wrote the famous Sefer on Ribit. He's a very, very famous writer. I've met him on occasion already. And he writes an interesting heter, which I don't see he writes any source for it, but he writes it as his own heter. He writes as follows. He says, sometimes you do business with a certain person that you know this person always needs to feel he's getting the better deal. Right? I'm sure all of you know such people that you deal with, that as they're dealing with you, they're dealing and dealing, and even if it's fear, you know they always just need to get that last bite out of you. Everybody has their own person they're thinking of right now already, who that person is. Right? So he writes as follows. He says, if you have a person that you know, that if you go into the deal with him, and as you go into the deal, you know that, right, even if you go in fearly, and you're going to go down, 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 then you're going to meet at a price, he's always going to want a better price. But if you right away walk in and you double the price with the intention to go fear with him and eventually meet at the appropriate price, then he says he has no problem with it. That's not Gneivas Das. He says Gneivas Das is a problem when you do a sale that's 50% off because you're doubling the price and you're misleading people that they're getting a sale. But if you have a person that the only way to meet with him at the fair price is to first double the price and start higher, he says he has no problem. Doesn't bring a source for it, but he says that won't be any issue of Gneivas Das. The Emes says, I did already find that there's a Knesset HaGdolah that does speak about a similar situation. The Knesset Gadol discusses that there was a certain person that had a distributor. That the distributor, what he would do was, he had a soft heart. And as people would negotiate with him, he would always sell below the value. And he would give him his items on consignment. So he felt very bad, because every time he would give him an item on consignment, he would make a sale, but he would make a sale, and he would lose money on the sale for the person that gave him the item. So finally, he figured out a plan. Every time he gave him an item, he doubled the price. He wrote into his book the regular price, and he figured the guy's going to sell it for half price anyways, and then they'll meet at the correct price. This is a story that happened by the Knesset Hagdol. The Knesset Hagdol says that it's allowed. It's interesting, but I saw the Achronim, they quote that one of the early Achronim, his name was Rebbe Elezer Chasson, he wrote that even though it's okay regarding Gneivas Das, he's a little bit concerned of Midvash Sheket Tirchak, because when you put into the book originally the wrong price, he wasn't so happy about it. But that happens to be, it's fine. Now, we said that we would discuss that what's the story with the famous situation, which a few of you actually remember the situation quite well, and that was when one year, all of the, it was on the headline of the newspaper, and that year, anybody that remembers, there was no regent that year, they stole the regents one year, right? You remember the year they stole the regents? I hope you weren't involved in that, right?
That was still in 8th grade.
You're still in 8th grade. I was in high school at the time. I remember that case very, very well. It was the front page of the newspaper. It was without a question. I remember the day of the regent on the front page of the newspaper. I don't remember the story exactly. You remember the answers of the regent being on the... Huh? Yeah, you remember the story really well, huh? You know the guy.
He knows the...
You know the culprit, huh? Believe it or not, this... You'll see it with him. This question actually made it into the Igros Maisha. And actually, believe it or not...
Was it mentioned Alan's name?
He mentions a name. You see the year. The year, by the way, is the same is the year we discussed, right? Thomas Tov Shin Mem. This is 1980. 1980 is when the story actually happened, you see. And some person actually felt that it was worthwhile to ask Rav Moshe if it was okay or not to steal the region. I mean, believe it or not. So obviously, even after it was in all the papers and the Chil Hashem had caused, some people were still not convinced. He says, B'dava shalosei amash shoma shebi yeshivas matirim la talmidim. Listen to this word. Then the yeshivas, they're matir for the talmidim, lignoiv es hachuvas la shailas, to steal the chuvas to the questions, b'mevchonei hasim sho'isna ha-medina regents, right, by the regents. Kidei lohoynes lekabelas hatudas shegamri betuv. Hine, dove ze osa, Ramosha writes as follows. It's not only osa from din l'machusa, but it's even osa midin toirib. Now Ramosha says, what do you think this is? Gnev is that? Don't think for a second that this is just an issue of Geneva's das, shegam kein osa, which he says anyways would be osa because of what we learned last week. The kedoyom shmul bechulin daf tzadik dalad amar alav shos lignov das abrius afil datis shal akim. Right, remember we learned this gemara inside last week. The kolchkin hocha shehu Geneva's das lekuliam afli Yisrael. He says firstly he says this Geneva's das not just Geneva's das of the goyim, which we said anyways is not allowed. It's Geneva's das of the other Yidden, because remember, when you get the marks of the regent, it's part of a competition. Everybody's trying to get the highest mark. Now, you're Gneivas Das of your teacher and of the scholarship you're going to get, or whatever the case is going to be. Elo Ramosha adds, Duhu Gam Gneivas Dova Mamish. It's actually real stealing. Why? Duhu Kesha Yitzel Lefarnas Asoy B'meshach Hazman. You're going to want to make a living over the next few years. What are you going to need to have? You need to have a diploma, right? And your diploma is stolen. You're looking for a guy with at least a high school diploma to hire him. Alright, Lemuv the Chol. He's going to show him his regent diploma. I don't know if you guys remember, a few years ago, even within the last 2 years, there was a story in all the papers where there was a certain doctor was working for many, many years, and he had an office full of diplomas, and they were all forged. And at the end, they arrested him. They. I mean, if can you imagine if you go to a doctor, right? And the doctor works.
He cheated on his test.
This is really what's happening. So he's stealing from you when you actually walk into him. You see, he says shegam betuv al smach ze kiblei shezei genevas momin mamish. Imagine what Moshe says: a guy that goes and he cheats on the regents. And because of the cheating on the regents, he ended up getting a job because of his diploma. He's really stealing for the rest of his life. Don't tell me sha'afim kibli lavad esli adata the hochi who can mark with aldova shayni reshoy l'shak shayni reshoy l'shaka chodu da'afim u'emes shayni l'akbid u'vada kipeida b'tele kabalosoi. He says, of course it's a kipeida. V'gam sha'os l'shaka b'chol oifin. He says, you're not allowed to lie, right? Af shayni negei l'shum dova. De'enim et las mili d'reshoy. It's not one of the three things that you're allowed to lie on. In any event, if you look, go a little further down the tshuva, he says that Ramosha says as follows, that he says it's absolutely not allowed. And then Ramosha says that we pride ourselves in the yeshivas that our children do better scholastically in Lamudei Chol, in English, than the Goyim do. That's what Ramosha writes at the end of his tshuvas. I know, maybe that's why his tshuva didn't become too popular at the end. And he says, why would you, he says, on the contrary, he says it's an obligation. A person's here in America, he has an obligation to study and to know how to read and to write. Right? You look in the last paragraph, Avol Boretz clear she'etzem adovah she'shama malz kevayt hu sheke. It's misoyni ha'yeshivas. Whoever me'eli she'roitzim lahachraf ha'yeshivas ki adarava yeduah she'bnei yeshiva hei me'eli she'afu lamudei choil adifim mitalmidim shaloyin debavot esayv shalahem va'al yochesh la'shmiyas shel sheke. A person, right? This is what he actually says. He knows who he's passing the tshuva on to already, I see. He has his friend over there, huh? But that...
Roger is very naive.
What's that? Roger was a bit... But that they didn't give the regents, right?
No, they gave the regents, but everybody got a high mark.
But remember, they canceled that we didn't have to take the regents. That, I mean, I took it for real. I was upset they canceled. I did well in that region. What can I tell you? In any event, that's the truth.
I just made money on it. I never had anything.
You did. You did well. You did well then already, huh? But you didn't get a job because of that region, right? So we don't have to be concerned anymore, huh? Now, let's go on to the next question. We started to discuss an interesting question, and that question was, you know, which anybody that's a gabbai in a Beit Midrash will have to deal with this question. My brother has this in his own shul. And one of the most classic questions is that last week we discussed a different question. And that was, when you're collecting tzedakah, you tell them you're collecting for one tzedakah, but really you're collecting for another tzedakah. You tell them a more popular tzedakah. Let's discuss another question this week. What happens? You get up in the shul and you see that the guys are not really into giving today. So you get up and you make an announcement that today's appeal, I will donate $2,000 to today's appeal. So what happens after you make that announcement? A few guys give $2,000 and then it goes down to $1,000, then goes down to $500. Truthfully speaking, you really only intend to give $500. But the problem is, if you'll announce right away that you're giving $500 and you're the chairman of the appeals committee of the tzedakah and the shul, so then what's going to happen? So the maximum you're going to get is $500. No, so are you allowed to go and announce that you're giving four times what you intend to give, not because you intend to give, but rather because you intend to extract the money for tzedakah from others? No, so what do you say to this question? I don't know. We know really what happened by the regents. I don't want to hear what happens in the shul by you. I got to find out next.
Definitely fewer people announce it must have this in mind because they don't pay up.
Because they don't pay up. So I'll tell you, there's a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchok from Dayan Weiss.
Same thing by Elias.
Huh? What's that?
Yeah, the same thing by Elias.
Well, how do you have the same thing by Elias?
You have somebody that's really not buying. And
they sell.
No, but there, I don't have a problem with it because if the guy gets stuck, he's going to pay. Let's say but
he could have gotten it $500 cheaper.
Again. But the guy is willing to take the risk to.
It's a shul rabbi. It's a shul. They let the guy shul the first aliyah. He doesn't plan on paying.
Oh, they let a guy get away with it totally?
The first aliyah. He's part of the. Go for a lot of money.
He's part of the.
The first bid.
Yeah.
Is they start it off at. If nobody says anything, they're going to start off at $100.
No, instead of saying chai dollar, they say right away $100. Right. But who is the one that says that bid? The gabbai?
Somebody.
Also, I mean, that's
him. Yeah, that's one of the givers. Please stop the bidding. You don't have to pay it.
Ah, so they let the first. It's interesting. Maybe the gabbai has a right on behalf of the shul, and that number doesn't mean anything. But I just want to. So Dayan Weiss, when he was asked this question, he says, why you ask me such a question? He writes back. He says, don't you know the Masho discusses this question already? So take a look, listen to this Masho. The end of the second parak in Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chavtes, the Gemara says the following story. Bishvil dala devorim, nichsei balabatim nimsorim lamalchis. There are four reasons that the government comes and takes away the money of balabatim. Okay, and he says, Mal v'beribis, mashish toris peruim, mishe ha'yipsipik b'yod limchaz v'lay michu. Then he says the fourth reason why a person's money gets taken away by the government. Zokta Gemara, al shepoiskim tzedakah barabim, on people that go and they announce that they're going to give tzedakah barabim, ve'inim noistim, and then they don't pay up. That's what the Gemara says. That's why you lose your money. So the Mashah asks a very interesting question. The Mashah says, poiskim tzedakah barabim, you promise to give money barabim, and you don't give it. Well, what kind of person are you? I mean, it's like, you know, as we're saying, this person's going to lose his money. Of course, if a person goes and he promises, I mean, it says if a person is noider and he does in the mishalom, he says he loses his children, and, right? What's that? Avoy nedorim, I mean, he says terrible things. I mean, the Mashal says, we're talking about a person that does that, and the Gemara has to tell us that he's going to lose his money. Of course, a person that does all kinds of avoy is going to lose his money. What is the Gemara saying? So the Mashal says, Haini, shebalabatim, it refers to the balabatim, Manhigei hakehila, right? The leaders of the kehila, poiskin tzedakah meruba. They make large announcements for tzedakah. Ve'ena noisn kula she'oimrim, because then they respond when it comes to pay. She'loi hoyedaita lekach ela b'shvil acherim she'yitni nedoves karoi. That they only announce those numbers so that the other people should give. Mashal says we're not talking about a person that just doesn't pay up. This person intends it does. He wants people to give tzedakah. So what does he do? He makes this announcement. So the Gemara says that for that, people's money get taken away by the government. So before we discuss this question anymore, this question definitely is closed. I mean, I don't think anybody would even consider this specific question. Now, let's discuss the next question. Let's talk about a few loopholes. Firstly, the Knesset HaGdolah brings down, in the name of the domestic Eliezer, as follows, that there are times where you have an enemy, and you said something to the enemy, and you really meant to insult him, but now you want to make up, and you want to do the right thing, and make shalom with him, make peace. So he says that in that type of situation, you're allowed to do Gneivas Das. And you're allowed to say, I didn't mean to say this and this, but I said this and this, I said something else. The question is, why is Gneivas Das allowed? So the Knesset HaGdolah brings down from the domestic Eliezer, that if the intention is to make peace, to make shalom, to patch up with a friend, then you're allowed to do Gneivas Das. What's his proof to that? There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, the Masechtis, the Shvuas, that you're allowed to go and lie, not a direct lie, right? But you're allowed to go say a milsa de mishtamel train ampum, something that can be interpreted in two ways. Like, ani esef b'charecha, in order to what? L'man ha-sholem, or to take a safe Torah away from a rush, or whatever. The Gemara gives a few examples. Now, he says, Gneivas Das is not an outright geneva. It's no worse, it's basically, it's misleading a person. It goes into the gather of sheker. So the Knesset HaGdolah says that to make shalom with a person, with another person, in that situation, you're allowed to do genevas das. Now, let me tell you a very, very interesting Yerushalmi. And after I repeat to you this Yerushalmi, we need to go back to discuss one of the things which we discussed last week. The Yerushalmi in Shvius tells us that if they give a person covet, and they give him a covet. Why? Because they mechabed him like a person that learned two masechtes, right? Who deserves covet? A person that learns Torah deserves covet. So a person gets kavod because they feel he learned two masechtes. This person knows himself that how many masechtes did he learn? One. And then one, he hardly knows, right? So he has a problem. So the Yerushalmi says that he's mechuyev to get up and be moicha and say, I didn't learn that many masechtes. You can't give me so much kavod. So, in the Yerushalmi, there's a pirish under the Yerushalmi, the Sefer Yefei Mara. And the Sefer Yefei Mara asks a very strong question. He asks a question based on something we learned last week. What did we learn last week? That when is a person allowed to do Gneivas Das? When it's E, Da'ata, Anafshei. Which means that I am not allowed through Gneivas Das to do something to mislead another person. But if the person goes and he fools himself, he himself gets fooled, then the Gemara told us clearly you're allowed to do it, right? That's what we learned. We had one exception, we had Tosfot, right? Which, you know, you read the Tosfot, you clarified there exactly what the Tosfot means, and that was that in a situation where he can't think, right, that it means something else, like the case of the barrel of wine, right? Those situations, we said, where the situation itself is misleading, right? The person can't think of another scenario, then we said you can't do it. But in a regular situation, everybody agreed, if the person fooled himself, you don't have to correct him. So the Yefei Mara asked, Why is it that the person who other people made a mistake and they believe that he went and learned all of this Torah, why does he have to correct the other people? It's a very, very strong question. The Yishami goes, Keneged the Gemara that we learn. So the Feimara answers an interesting teret. He says that a person that's Nehene from Kavot HaTorah is different. That's already dangerous. To have Hana'ah from Kavot HaTorah when you don't truthfully deserve it, that's dangerous. So even though usually in Hilchas Geneva's Das, if another person fooled himself into doing something for you that was not necessary, you don't have to correct him if you didn't mislead him and he fooled himself, except in that one situation we learned last week. In this situation, you should correct it. The truth is that kavod is a very scary thing, by the way, and it's a very dangerous thing, and I'll tell you just why it's so dangerous. The Chafetz Chaim said, and it's really, I'll tell you the story that's behind it, the Chafetz Chaim once came together with Rav Chaim Oizer to Vilna. And they say there were 25,000 people waiting to greet these two Gedolim outside when the two of them came. And as the two of them came, the Rav Chaim Oizer was about to leave from the back of the wagon, and the Chofetz Chaim says, I'm not leaving, I'm staying here in the wagon, I refuse to go out. So the Rav Chaim Oizer said, why? So the Chofetz Chaim said, listen, when a person gets kavod in this world, that's the only schar a person can get that takes away from his Olam Haba. Any schar a person gets in this world does not take away from his Olam Haba. Why? Why is that? Because any mitzvah that we do is nitzchi, right? It's not something which is limited, which you can repay like you repay in this world. In Olam Haba, the schar is going to be a schar nitzchi, right? Which is going to be a schar forever. So if they give you $1 billion, it didn't take away 1 ounce of your schar. But kavod, the Chofetz Chaim said, that already is nitzchi. It's not something tangible. It's something which is a feeling. It's something which is for the future. And for that, if a person gets too much kavod in this world, it reduces from his Olam Haba, right? That's what the Chofetz Chaim said to Reb Chaim Oizer. So Reb Chaim Oizer turned to the Chofetz Chaim and he said, I hear exactly what you're saying, but I want you to know we have no choice. There are so many Jews waiting for us. And Chofetz Chaim heard that. He left the wagon and he went to greet the people. There was no disagreement between Reb Chaim Oizer and the Chofetz Chaim if it was correct or not. Everybody agreed that when a person gets a lot of kavod, it takes away his schar from Olam Haba. And if a person is getting that schar because of the Torah he learned, and he's not entitled to that schar, it's very dangerous. And he shouldn't really do it. Okay? But on the other hand, the Chofetz Chaim had no choice. Sometimes the Rav has no choice. He needs to take the kavod haTorah in order for the people to give him the respect that they should have a schar or that they should learn properly. But the schar itself that you're not entitled to is an extremely frightening thing. There is also, just once I get to your point in a second, there's also a tshuva in the Marit, when Marit and Arachayim Simon Yud asked the same question, and Marit answers a different teretz. He says that when a person accepts kavod like he's entitled to it, and he's quiet, he doesn't object, that is considered matah. That's considered fooling the people, because any person that gets kavod is not entitled to, should be rejecting not to receive that kavod. Very, very dachistic and a very frightening area. I will tell you that the Achrayim say that when you have a Rav in a community, and the later Tshuva is right, is you have a Rav in the community and he knows that it's not practical because the people won't have the proper respect for him afterwards, and they give him the kavod, he has no choice, he has to swallow that kavod. But I'm just showing you what he's dealing with over here. It's a very frightening thing what he's dealing with. What are you saying? Yeah?
Why would the Chafetz Chaim take such a stand if the Torah itself makes provisions for people to be mechabed Torah? It says the sebatakum behadat bnei zaken.
Right.
But how could they go and negate that right that they still have towards them?
They probably were afraid of our issue. They were the quintessential Talmidei Chachamim, without a question. Nobody will disagree with that. But you know, the Shulchan Aruch has a whole discussion that there are certain privileges that are given to a Talmid Chacham. If you look in the Petchei Tshuva, he says that most poskim say that today there is no Talmid Chacham of that magnitude anymore. So it's a very, very frightening thing when a person has to accept that he is a Talmid Chacham. And the Chofetz Chaim, being one of the greatest, you know, onovs that existed in our history, had a very hard time stomaching that he is actually a Talmid Chacham, right? That's probably the pshat. Now, I owe you an answer on a question you asked last week, but this area will shed light on many areas for us. We learned in the Gemara a lashon. The Gemara says, "Mepnei kvoidoi v'imepnei kvoidoi muta." If you did it for his kavod, it's muta. Right? You remember that lashon? So you asked me last week, what does it mean you did it for his kavod? I mean, every time that you sort of mislead, every time that you sort of give a person, you mislead him to believe that you mean to do something for him, you're doing it for his kavod, right? I didn't say it in those words, but you basically said, what is the actual definition of v'im mepnei kvoidoi muta? Okay, I'll first quote to you what it says in Shulchan Aruch in the Prisha, how the Prisha explains it. Because the reason why I'll explain to you the Prisha is because the Pashtas, the Prisha is the halacha, because I'll show you soon how the Mechaba breaks down this halacha and where he puts this halacha of the Imepnei Kvodo. Well, he writes as follows. He says, there are two types of situations of Geneva's Das. One situation of Geneva's Das is I approach you and I say, you know, you're in the area, come over to my house for dinner. Right? Or I want to take you out for an evening for dinner. I know that there's no way that you can that you will actually will come. Why? Because you can't come because you have a certain situation which you can't eat in my house. You don't carry on Shabbos, and we don't have an Erev, and you have little children, so there's no way you're going to come. But what am I going to accomplish? I'm going to accomplish it. Now you're going to feel obligated to invite me. You're going to say, look, I can't come to you, but you could come to me, so you come to me, and I'll actually go. So that's number one. There's another case, which is that you're in public, and you want to give a person the proper respect, and you want to go and elevate a person's esteem in everybody's eye. Wow, look who invited him. If you know he's a guest, and the most prestigious person in the shul came and invited me, that means that this person has chashivut, right? He's a very, very special person. In that situation, you're already allowed to go and invite the person. And it's interesting. You look at the Mechaba and Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba and Shulchan Aruch breaks down this halacha into two parts. One Mechaba is the first Mechaba that we discuss, all of those cases, don't mislead him in all of those cases. Then he says at the end that you go to the house of the Oval, and when you go to the house of the Oval, you bring along wine, but really your flask of wine is empty because it says Tani Sheikha, right? Leva, right? They used to go to the Oval, they used to give the Oval to drink wine, and you really don't have wine. What's your real intention? That everybody should see that you were Mechaber and that you gave him wine. So, therefore, what it seems to be the way the Mechaber actually accepts the halacha, it depends. If the situation is that you're doing something personal with him, and therefore he owes you hakarat hatov, then absolutely you can't do it. But if the situation is not that way, but rather the situation is that what you're doing is you're trying to elevate his esteem in everybody's eyes, for others, that would be one exception to the rule. The emes is that the Chassam Sofer has an interesting kasha on the Gemara of Imupnei Kvoidei Mutter. The Chassam Sofer asks that why isn't it the Chassam Sofer al-Ashas? He says, why isn't it like Geneva al-Manas Lahachsa, which we learned that you can't steal in order to repay? Interesting question the Chassam Sofer asks. You see how deeply he looked into the topic. So the Chassam Sofer says that when you do Geneva al-Manas Lahachsa, before you return it, you mitzar the person. But here, there's no point that you mitzar the person. So it's not really like Geneva al-Manas Manas lahachse. Okay, that is one way of possibly looking at it. I will tell you that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says a little differently, but others disagree with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and he learns v'imepnei kvoidoi in a much more literal way, but it's a very frightening way to look at the topic. He says v'imepnei kvoidoi means that you truthfully mean it. Which means, as follows, sometimes you really truthfully mean to invite the person, and you're not doing it as a formality, but you know that the person can't come. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav wants to say that that case already is called Mepnei Kvoidei, even if you'll have a Karas HaTov, because you truthfully would have taken this other person to your house for the meal, and you really meant it. The emes is a very big nafka mina, which I saw as a disagreement between the Sma and between the Shulchan Aruch HaRav.
How do you attach Mepnei Kvoidei?
Mepnei Kvoidei, because you really want to give him the kavod. In other words, not the pshat that you're trying.
If you really want to give it to him, and you really want him to come, you're not really going to have that.
Then it's not really going to have that. But you know he can't come. So maybe it is going to have that because you know your offer is not an offer because you know he's not coming. I want to ask you a question.
If he says yes,
he'll tell him.
But you know he can't come. You know, I want to ask you a question. And this, I'll show you where this machloket, you see it in the Sma and Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That question situation when you go to the person's house with the flask of wine, the oval, and you mean to give him, interesting, you mean to give him respect to the others, right? You mean to say, wow, look, the Rav of the city came and offered him wine. Very impressive. Can the Rav go with an empty flask of wine?
Yeah,
or not. That's a disagreement in how you understand v'imei p'nei k'foideh. If you understand v'imei p'nei k'foideh means that, like we said before from Rashi, you just want to go and be mechaber him in front of everybody's eyes. So then there's a disagreement. I saw in the Acharonim, if you can go with an empty bottle, with an empty bottle. But look, the Shechana, I'm just quoting what Shechana Acharav says. I agree, it's very, very shvet to understand. But I'll tell you another heter that the Sma says. The Sma says that once in a while, you have a person that comes to your house, comes into the shul, you know he can't come, but you don't invite him, even once or twice. The Sma says that's an insult. Interesting. Another interesting heter. You have a guy who's in the city. You know he can't come. But he says, what? Everybody in the city knows. Nobody in the shul hears to invite me? So that's already an insult. So the Sma says once or twice you should invite him. And then when everybody knows he can't come, then you don't continue to invite him. But not to invite him sometimes is an insult. Yeah? Now, let's go into another very interesting discussion. The Peleg Yoyetz brings down that number one, if you have a situation where you have a Russia has a certain item, then you're allowed to do Gnevas Das to take it away from him. The classic case is, it's a very interesting tshuva you should see in the Machzor Avraham, in Simon Yud Aleph, he discusses that if they had a situation where there was a guy who got hold of a Sefer Torah. They had a Sefer Torah that was inferior quality, they didn't know who wrote it, whatever the situation was. So they decided they had a wonderful plan. They were going to go and do an exchange. They were going to read their mind that this Sefer Torah is a kosher Sefer Torah, and they'll do an exchange with the guy for the better Sefer Torah. So there was Gnevas Das Akim, which is really Osir, but it was in order to save a Sefer Torah from a guy. So there he's matured already. And he discusses that there's a lav of Gnevas Das Akim, but the assay of Kovar HaTorah, he writes, is Doicha, the lav of Gnevas Akim. So that would be another interesting case where it would possibly be okay. Now moving on another case of Gnevas Das that everybody agrees is okay, is a Zoyer in last week's Pasha. Anyone that went to the Pasha with the Zoyer saw what the Zoyer says when everybody agrees you can do Gnevas Das. When is that? It says as follows. It says in the Pasik, Loi Signoi, right? Loi Sinov, Loi Sirtzach. So as we know, there's a Psik, right? Everyone of these, right? Loi, Tignov, right? Period. Everyone has a period. It's not continuous. So the Zohar says, why is there a psik? Why is there a stop? So the Zohar answers, if the Torah would not have made a psik, then every one of those would have been unequivocally no, right? Lo, Tignov, period. You're never allowed to steal, right? Every one of those things would have been never. But now the Zohar says that there is a psik, there is a stop. It means there's an exception to every single one of the rules. And the Zohar starts to go through one by one and says that for all of those laws, there is an exception. See, I'll explain. Show you the Zohar inside. It's a very beautiful Zohar to see. So then the Zohar says as follows. What's the exception to Lo Tignoiv? When are you allowed to steal? It says, Lignoiv Das Rabbi Bahalocha. You can do Gnevas Das to your Rebbe when your Rebbe knows a certain halacha and he doesn't want to teach it to you. That's what the Zohar says. Now the Zohar says as follows, right? What does the Zohar say? It says, you see the Gemara Brachas brings down. What does the Gemara Brachas say? There were certain Talmidim that used to sneak after the Rebbe into the bathroom, right? That's what the Gemara brings down. So they said, Atkein ha'asta, you have such chutzpah. Even in the Gemara brings one story with a bedroom, right? You see all the stories there. So the Gemara says, Torahi v'tzorech l'lamad. It's Torah, and I got to learn. That's it. That's the Gemara's response, which is Gnevas Das v'halocha. You're allowed to do Gnevas Das in halocha in order to get Torah out of your Rebbe. So that can be another tremendous loophole in this topic. Now, let's discuss another interesting question. What happens if a person has, the Mechaber speaks about the following question. The Mechaber speaks about what happens if you have a slave. The slave is an Eved, and you want to sell him. You want to sell him, you want him to look young and strong. The problem is, he's already about 50 years old, his hair turns already partially white, and he doesn't have that look to him anymore. So what do? You dye his hair. So the Mechaber says, you're not allowed to dye his hair. Why? The Mechaber says, why can't you dye his hair? Because it's Gnevas Das. Because the person thinks that what is he getting? A young Eved. And what is he in reality? An old Eved, right? That's what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber also discusses about when you have animals, about doing certain things with animals, if you're allowed to do it or not, right? Those are the two questions that the Mechaber speaks about. Comes the Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that this Mechaber is talking about an Eved Kenani. But if we were talking about an Eved Ivri, you'd be allowed to do it. Why? And the Yaivitz writes, I mean, be careful with this too. The Yaivitz says that if a person has no panasa and skadei chayav, for that he's allowed to do Gnevas Das. That's what the Yavetz writes. So now you have suddenly a tremendous kula. That's possible to do Ganeves Nas if a person does not have Panasa. Because that's what the Yavetz wants to say. I mean, the Yavetz just has, the Sholem Meshev has a very strong question on the Yavetz. And he says he doesn't understand the Yavetz for a different reason. Because taking a Eved and dying is here is Le Silba, Shwa.
That's a Shela on Rabosha.
Well, that's you see, you're going to argue that every time a person doesn't want to study, so that's considered kedei chayev. This person is in a situation where he can't make a living anymore. What?
A diploma, you can't get a job. Kedei parnasat Torah.
Listen, but why should you put yourself into that situation? You hear what I'm saying? You can't put yourself into that situation. Here we're talking about a guy that already is trying to make a living and he can't make a living. I have to tell you, there's a very interesting.
Yeah, but again, it depends on what the bada.
What
is he doing? He's just packaging himself.
He's packaging himself as a young man, and he's an old man. And the person thinks he's going to get a 30-year-old muscular Eved, and he gets a 50-year-old guy that can hardly schlep.
All he has to do is to ask him, how old are you?
He does it like also like that to ask, you know, it was in the market, they were
it's packaging.
It's packaging. It's all.
It's a resale.
Anything that's a resale is going to have his das, that's how they resell it.
Anything that you sell.
But you have to write in something you sell. If it's refurbished, people are expecting to get something inferior quality. But if it's not refurbished, then they're not expecting to get inferior quality. Look, I want to just go into this quite a few things I still want to discuss. I'm not going to have time, only another 5 minutes. Maybe we'll talk about this a bit after this year. I'm just showing you see a possible heter from the Yavetz of Kedei Chayev. The Sholem Meshev brings down that he doesn't understand it for a different reason. He says, Le Yilbash, how you let it go and take an Eved and die is here. It's Le Silbash. I'm not going to go into this right now, but the Kinyan Torah has a whole discussion about covering certain blemishes that a person has in a daughter in order to marry her off, right? Using certain makeups to cover certain blemishes, you know? A person has very, very dark-colored beauty marks, right, on their face. Are they allowed to take a certain whitener and cover it? Right? I once had a son-in-law came to complain to me about his mother-in-law. What was the complaint? It was just the opposite. He had beauty marks all over his face. So he bought me his Chasna album. He says, take a look at my wedding album. There's not one beauty mark on my face. What happened? His mother-in-law went to the photographer, and he made the photographer remove. It was just the opposite. You see? That was a different situation. Listen, there's...
What did he want?
What's that?
What did he want?
They wanted to fight. That was it. they didn't want anything. So now, let's just talk about another few questions here quickly. The Taz brings down in Hilchas Tfilas Kelim an interesting discussion. A discussion if you're allowed to take a keli of a goy, and you're allowed to take the keli of a goy and use it or not. So if it's a mashkin that you have. So the Taz brings down that the Mechava says you mechuyif to tfilo, you know, to toivel the keli. So the Taz asks a different question. He says, how are you allowed to take the keli of the goy? The keli of the goy is a vegan avis das. The guy gave you the keli in order that you should just hold it as a mashkin, and you're actually using it. How are you allowed to do it? I want to quote you the Lashon of the Taz, and the Taz says that Gnevis das by a goy is different in halacha than Gnevis das by a yid. And I brought up the Shulchan Aruch, but I don't have time to read it from this. I'll just quote you from my notes. It says as follows. He says, Ein isse ba'akim elen kei moitzido b'shekem ipiv. You have to either lie to him, to fool him, or your intention is to get something in reciprocation, because then there's money that you're taking from the goy. Right? Momoin, that the goy wants to return something to you because of the geneva's das, to have a geneva mikison. In other words, what are the tas taich up? Remember we discussed when it came to geneva's akam as osa, but we discussed as a concept called hafkos alvosai, which means if the goy has something by you, you're retaining it without actually stealing it, without actually taking it from him. We said that when there's no chil Hashem that was muta. We had that discussion all the way in the beginning. So the tas says that of course you're not allowed to do Gneva's Akim. You're not allowed to do Gneva's Akim. And of course you can't do Gneva's Das. But the Taz says it's not any worse than regular Hilchas Gneva. When you don't say a lie, and you don't mislead him, and you don't do anything which makes the guy want to return money to you, a Toivus Hanoh, that because he thinks you invited him out, he should invite you out, and he should spend money on you. And you're just using his item, which is Gneva's Akim, without misleading him, without afterwards getting any personal gain from the guy, and the guy doesn't lose anything to you. The Taz says that already is going to be mutter. So just number one, a very important distinction in Gneivas Akam between a Yid and between a Goy. There's another very interesting Taz. The Taz in Yerideir, Simin Reish Nun Dalet, discusses in Sifkot and Beis, according to the Halacha, you're not supposed to accept as an organization. There's a difference there between the Mechabes of Aleph and Beis, if it's an organization or if it's a private person. An organization is not supposed to accept donations from Goyim, right? Except if the donations are for the Beis Medrash, right? Like the Beis Medrash, where they mekabel nedoves for the Beis Hamikdash kavanas. But money for the poor people, you're not supposed to accept from Goyim. The Mechabes says that what should you do if they did give you a donation? So they gave you the donation and they gave it to you for the Yidden and for the Goyim. So give the whole thing over to the Goyim. Don't give it to the Jewish poor people. Frek the Taz, it's Gnevus Das. He gave you money in order to give it for the Jewish and for the non-Jewish. And you gave the money just for the non-Jewish. So it's Gnevus Das. That's the question that Taz asks. So the Taz says, no, it's not Gnevus Das. Because he didn't give you money specifically to give it just to the non-Jew, just to the Jew. He gave you money to give to both. You did hear Gnevus Das b'sheva al taisa. Interesting lashon Taz. Gnevus Das b'sheva al taisa, and Gnevus Das b'sheva al taisa, that you just gave it over to the guy. So you carry out his wishes. You didn't. But he said, give it over. He said, give it to all the poor people in your area. There's Jews and there's non-Jews alike, and he expects you to give it to both. So he says, you're not mechuyev to carry out that sheva al taisa. You only
didn't give it to the Jews.
He didn't give it to the Jews. That's the sheva al taisa. I just want to tell you that it doesn't say anywhere, none of the Achra, the Taz is not mechalek between a Yid and a Goy. It seems to be, if you read the Taz well, that Gnevus Das, B'Shev Al Tais, is mutter from a Yid and from a Goy. And that's what I saw the Pesach HaChoshen actually quotes. I'm surprised. Nobody brings it, you know, as Halacha L'maisa, but that's what it seems to be from the Taz. It could be the Taz only said this as a Tzirif. Okay, let me just conclude with one more thought. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Aleph, the Magen Avraham brings in Sim Kuf Nun Vav. If a person lets blood, they consider it very dangerous. So if a person let blood, so after they considered it very dangerous, the refuah was to drink wine. The Gemara says, what did they do? They didn't have wine. So they do a very simple thing. They would go, right? You need lunch, you need a meal. So what do? You go to the food court in the mall. A person's a goy, when it's kosher, obviously, that's Yisrael, it's kosher, let's say. So what does he do? And they sit in front of each stand and they give you samples to taste. And why are they giving you the samples? Because they expect you to buy something. So you go take a sample from one stand, a sample from the next stand, and you do this to like 5-6 different stands, and then you're full. That's the eitzah that the Gemara gives. Go from store to store and say, I want to purchase. You make yourself like you want to purchase wine. And from each one, you take a glass of wine, you drink, and by the time you're through, you drink a couple of bottles of wine. That's what the Gemara says. That's how the Magen Avraham says. The Achronim all ask on the Magen Avraham and the Gemara, this is clearly Gnevus Das. You present yourself to the wine store like a person that intends to buy wine, and then you don't intend to buy wine. So why is this not a case of Gnevus Das? Now, the only thing difference is that this is it's a sakanaya, because the Gemara says it's dangerous for this person.
But even to steal,
even with sakanaya, you only can do it when you intend to pay back. Remember, we discussed that the first week. So then if that's the case again. So others say that what the Teyafas Re'im, which is Seifan Dirayim, brings the question, he wants to argue that he drinks in every store less than a Shava Pruta. That's what he wants to argue. Others want to say back that it's Gnevus Das, and Gnevus Das Kedei Chayov, we said, is Mutter. So maybe this goes into a case of Gnevus Das Kedei Chayev. But there are a few Achronim, I mentioned the Yaivetz, and I'm mentioning over here also a few Achronim that say that. But this last Prat, when it's Mamish Kedei Panasose, Kedei Chayev, it needs obviously more Ian, and you have to be careful how you use it, you know, because or else, like we said, you'll use it in every single case. Good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's it. Thank you. That's it, okay.
Another word.